direct from Orlando. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2018. Brought to you by Google. Our friends at Google are working hard to create great technology products for everyone. They're inviting you to participate in Google User Research Studies, where you can help shape the future of accessible products and features and get rewarded for it. Check out our tweet for the sign-up link at blindbargains or head to google.com/userresearch. Now, here's Chancey Fleet.
Hey, I'm here with Jessie DiNapoli, and she is with Guiding Eyes for the Blind in Yorktown Heights, New York.
Got it.
Jessie, how many years have you been coming to the show here?
Well, this is my third year at the convention, although it's been spread out over probably the last 8 years.
And how many Guiding Eyes grads do you think are here every year?
We usually have anywhere from 15 to 30 grads.
Awesome. So how many teams do you place every year?
This past year we placed about 157 teams, and next year our goal is to do 175.
Excellent. So what's that breakdown like? I know you have a couple different types of training programs.
Sure. We have a residential training program, which is a three-week program where the individual comes to our school and trains with their new dog for 18 days. We also have a home training program where we bring the dog to the person in their home area, and the dog trains, the team trains together for 10 to 15 days. And we also have a special needs program.
So if you're trying to decide among hometown training or going to one of the residential classes, what are some of the things that might help a person decide which is right?
Sure. We usually recommend for a first-time guide dog user, we usually recommend they do the residential program. And that's mainly because when you come to the residential program, you get to leave regular life behind. And you just get to focus on working with meeting your new dog, learning the techniques and commands you're going to use with the new dog. All of your meals are provided or taken care of. You really just get to focus on working with the dog. So it's ideal. However, we know that there are many reasons people might not be able to come into the residential program, whether they're a caregiver at home or work doesn't allow them that much time off. So the home training program is also a great option because all of your training is done in your home area. So it's an area that the individual knows very well, and right from the beginning, the dog is learning how to work in that area.
Okay. And so I understand that you guys put a particular emphasis on being able to work with people that might have other disabilities besides blindness or visual impairment.
Yeah, we have a special needs program, and it's been one of Guiding Eyes' signature programs for over 20 years now. And that program is designed to work with individuals who are visually impaired, but also have a secondary disability. So in the past, we have worked with people who are visually impaired, who have cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis. We work with the deaf-blind population. We also train dogs to brace for balance if someone has severe balance issues.
Got it.
And we also work with people who may have cognitive disabilities.
So how might training be different for somebody that has an intellectual disability and like a different learning pace? How do you navigate that?
The first step in that is obviously choosing the right dog for that person. So for someone who may have cognitive delays, they will probably need a dog who's going to be very patient,
yep.
Who's going to wait for them to figure out what it is that they need to do, and then from there, give the dog the command what to do. So we're looking for a patient dog, a dog that's very settled. And for the training, within the special needs program, it's always a 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 ratio, which means that it's one instructor per one student or one instructor per two students. So we tailor the training program to what the individual needs. So if they need to progress at a slower rate, then we move at a slower rate, and we really just focus on the basic foundation of what they need to learn. And the pace that they get to learn at is really dictated by them.
Excellent. And can you tell me a little bit about how communication and commands work when somebody's deafblind? I know not every deafblind person is the same, but what are some strategies that people use?
Well, you're right. Every deaf person is a little bit different. Some are verbal, some are not. So if someone is verbal and wants to use their voice, they would give commands with hand signals and voice together. If someone is nonverbal, the dog is strictly trained to respond to the hand signals. So some of the strategies we use, because one of the things that comes into play if someone is nonverbal is, how does the dog know that they've done a good job? Like, how do you praise them? How do you tell them, hey, that was a good boy? So we've come up with a system of tapping,
yep,
where the dog learns that certain taps mean, no, don't do that, and other taps mean, oh, good job, you're doing a great
thing. Where do they tap?
Usually, the dogs are typically on the left side,
yeah,
so the person would tap on their right thigh.
Oh, tap the person, not tap the dog. Okay.
Yeah, like the person would tap their own leg.
Right. So that's like a rhythm.
Yes.
Got
exactly.
It. Cool.
Exactly.
So I have one more question for you.
Sure.
We've had a lot of conversations lately about how people are integrating new technology into their lives, particularly with travel and transit and independence. You know, there's GPS, obviously, for many years now, but now there are these visual interpreter apps too.
Sure.
And you mentioned getting away from your regular life and not having any distractions. How do you support, during the training process, someone's desire to incorporate those technologies for travel and independent living in a way that is not distracting to their training?
Well, we're certainly open to, we do have experience working with people. Most of our experience is probably with the GPS,
yeah,
and different forms of the GPS, but certainly apps, you're right, have become huge. And I know that I think Ira's here too, which,
yep,
the Google and...
And Be My Eyes is here.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, all of those technologies can certainly be used with a guide dog, and
yep,
they can be used well. The most, probably the key or the most important thing to remember when you're using a technology with the dog is that you still want to make sure that you're interacting with the dog.
Yep.
Dogs are social, they like to have attention, so it's important that even if you're listening to a GPS, that at some point you do take a moment to acknowledge what the dog is doing. If they're doing a good job, it's important to tell them, hey, you did a good job, good boy, good girl.
Have you observed that sometimes when people are interacting with technology, it's sucking their attention away to an extent?
Sure. I mean, I think we notice that between people to people, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does, it can happen, but I think when most people are, and certainly that's bound, I mean, that's really everyday life. There's no way you're probably ever going to totally prevent that from happening, realistically, but it's important if the person does remember.
Mindfulness.
Yes. Yep. To be aware that the dog does need to exist.
And you want to trust your dog.
Yes, absolutely. And you want to trust that the dog is doing a good job. Yeah.
All right, Jesse, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your convention. It's only day two. You've got plenty of energy.
Thank
Conserve
you.
It.
All right. I will do my best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.